Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, open it up to Revelation 6. And I'm going to be speaking about a dream the Lord gave me in 2009 when I was in Costa Rica ministering to the indigenous people down there in southern Costa Rica. And every night that I was there, the Lord gave me a prophetic dream about the events and circumstances that are going to be occurring here in the United States of America. And I keep talking about these dreams. I keep preaching about them every so often. I don't do it every week or every month, but every so often I keep referring to them simply because it brings me and it will bring you to a point of realization that the Lord is serious about Him being established as the King of Kings here on this earth and in this country, and the Lord is serious about Himself being established as the only God, and that we do not serve other gods, we do not worship idols here in America. And so God's will is that we come to know Him. God's will is that we seek Him in greater measure and seek Him with all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind, and all of our heart. And as we do that, then the Lord's favor will continue upon us. But God gave me these prophetic dreams to speak to the people, to let them know, to warn them, and to let them know that there is going to be judgments unleashed upon America. There will be judgments unleashed upon this land to get people to look to Him. There will be judgments so that people will be taken away from their comfort zone. They will be moved out of their comfort. They will be moved out of their place of idolatry, of worshiping other gods and worshiping idols. And so God is serious about bringing people back to Him. He is serious about wanting America and every nation on the face of the earth to worship Him, to seek Him, and to love Him with all their heart. Revelation, starting in chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "When He opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" Well, this is one of four judgments, one of four horses. Some people call them the four horses of the apocalypse, but these are one of four judgments that are unleashed in chapter 6 of Revelation. And this judgment is concerning famine, or concerning the Lord taking away the bread of the people and causing the people to turn to Him, causing the people to suffer, and causing the people to turn to Him and away from their foolish ways. And He does it by breaking their bread, by breaking their chain of food supply. And so in Revelation 6:5, when the black horse came out, this is the way the dream unfolded for me. I saw the black horse come out. I saw the rider on the black horse, and he had the scales in his hand, and he spoke the very same words that were in the passage of Scripture that I just read to you. He spoke, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the wine or the oil." Well, what was the passage of Scripture that he was referring to? What is it saying? He's saying that there is a balance. That's what the balance in his hands represents. There is a balance in all economic transactions. I pay you $4 for a loaf of bread. I get the bread. You get the money. I pay $20,000 for a car. You get the money. I get the car. And so there's a balance in every economic transaction. And what the black horse rider was saying is that there is going to be a quart of wheat, that is a 3-pound measure of wheat, for a denarius, which was a day's wage, and three quarts of barley, which was a cheaper grain, a grain that was not valued as greatly as wheat, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. In other words, it was a third of the value of wheat for a day's wage. And then he said, "Do not harm wine and the oil." In other words, the wine and the oil were to remain stable. Well, in the dream, I was watching this rider come out, and I watched him speak these words as he was holding up the scale in his hands. And all of a sudden, the black horse reared up and threw the rider off onto the ground. And so what the Lord was showing me, what the Lord was saying to me was, there's going to be a time of chaos coming in America when there will be no balance, when there will be no economic transfer that will be predictable, that will be dependable. There will be complete and utter chaos. There will be transactions that will be accomplished through barter and through trading the money that may be highly inflated and of little value, and maybe even you might have some gold to trade for something. But there will be coming a time when the economic transactions will be full of chaos. You will not be able to depend on them. And as the rider was thrown off, representing the balance of the economy, the Lord was just showing me that this time is coming, and it's going to be a time full of chaos and full of calamity. Well, that was the first part of the dream. And of course, the inflation that is spoken of, as the writer spoke, he spoke of a quart of wheat for a denarius. That inflation, just to give you an idea, right now you can buy a 60-pound measure, that is a full bushel of wheat, at the local elevator for about $4. So a $4 money expenditure will bring you a 60-pound measure of wheat. And so a quart of wheat, that is a 3-pound measure for a denarius. Well, a denarius today, a day's wage today, would be, if you were making $8 or $10 an hour, would be $80 for a 3-pound measure of wheat. So you can see how much the inflation is going to take off and how much the value of food that we can purchase, how much that value is going to increase, and the money that we have will be valueless or of less and less value as inflation increases. The money will be of less and less value. You can look back to other countries in the past, in historical situations. In Germany, people used to have to take wheelbarrow loads of their money to go purchase groceries or even a loaf of bread. And in Argentina and other places where inflation has been rampant, the purchasing power of their money has practically gone to zero. And so that's what the Lord is saying, is that because of inflation and because the purchasing power of the money that you have will be practically nil, that the economic balance will be destroyed and will be full of chaos. Well, the second part of the dream that the Lord showed me, I was standing in front of a dough roller like you see at the Pizza Hut, where they drop in a big lump of dough and it rolls out a nice crust, and you can use the same type of machine to roll out chapatis or pitas or that type of thing. And I was standing in front of this machine, and dough was coming out of this machine in long chains, like sausage chains, and I was pulling the dough out, and it was coming before me, and I was pulling it out, and all of a sudden the chain started to break and the dough fell to the ground. And I was frantic to try to grab the dough, but it kept falling to the ground and the chain was breaking. And the Lord was showing me that the food chain, the steady supply of food that we depend on and that we have designed here in America, the just-in-time food delivery to every grocery store in America by trucks that are coming into the back door of every grocery store, that just-in-time delivery, the food chain and the distribution of food here in America, is going to break. And so this is also tied in with the first part of the dream, where the Lord showed me that a dependable economy, dependable expectations to purchase the food is going to be nil. It is going to be practically non-existent in the chaos. And then secondly, he further elaborated on that and showed me that the food distribution chain, the supply chain, is going to break. And then the third part of the dream, I was watching a flour mill. I have a flour mill out on my farm. I was watching the mill as it was milling flour. There were several of us standing around watching this mill flour, and I believe what the Lord was showing me was that local supply of food would be the most dependable supply. In other words, get your systems set up and get your farm set up, get your own operation set up to supply local food, not only for yourself, for your family, and for your neighbors, but for the community around you. Start thinking of ways that you can develop more locally produced food. Start thinking of ways you can boost your garden production or your flower production or making things, cottage industries, where you can make things to sell that will feed into the food supply chain of your local community. This is essential because if there's any breakdown in distribution in terms of the gasoline supply, the diesel fuel supply, martial law, which prevents trucks from moving easily and prevents people from moving from one place to another easily, local production of food will be the only dependable supply of food that we can count on a daily basis to bring us food into our kitchens. Well, what is storing up food all about? What is dependable supply of food all about? Is it just for hoarding in our basement, just filling our own basement with food and water so that we can take care of ourselves and not think about anybody else? No, that isn't what it is about. It's about having food not only for yourself, and you just have to pray about this for yourself. Ask the Lord, how much do you want me to store? Is this the right amount? Some people may want to store thousands and thousands of pounds of food. If they have big families or if they have a real heart for their neighbors, they might want to store thousands and thousands of pounds of food. Or if their situation is such that they're a single person or don't have much space, that is physical space, to store food, they may just want to store enough for a week or a month to get by in case calamity strikes. But the Lord's intention in storing up food is so that you can bless people who are coming to you in need of food, people who don't have any prophetic vision, people who have been warned but didn't take heed to the warning, so that you can bless those people in the name of Jesus and you can give them food to eat, just like humanitarian organizations all over the world give food in the name of the United States or in the name of the United Nations or Food for the Hungry, or there are some good Christian organizations, Samaritan's Purse and World Vision, and even Gathered the Outcast. We support orphans and we support people in Africa who need food and don't have food and water. But the Lord is interested in us helping those people, first of all, with their physical needs, and then also being able to share the gospel with them so that they will know Jesus Christ is, first of all, their Lord and their Savior, and secondly, that Jesus is responsible for the love and for the provision that brought this food or put this food into their hand. Proverbs 11:24, the Lord says, "There is one who scatters and increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty." So what is the Lord saying here? He's saying that the more you give away, that the more you scatter, that the more you're going to increase yourself, that the Lord gives to those who give away. And then he said that there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. In other words, if you're just hoarding out of selfish reasons and selfish purposes just to take care of your own skin and to preserve your own life, then the Lord says that will lead to poverty. And Proverbs 11:25, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." So the generous person, that person who gives away to the poor, that person who blesses those who don't have, he will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So it's a never-ending supply chain. When you give in behalf of the Lord, when you give away food and you give away water and you give away clothing, there is a never-ending supply that comes to you. And as a result of that, you will be blessed to keep giving and you will be blessed to keep getting from the Lord. Proverbs 11:26, "The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it." So if you are a hoarder, if you're just storing up grain to save your own skin, people are going to curse you. But if they see you selling grain or giving grain away. They're going to bless you. They'll protect you. They will come to you in time of need, and you will have more to give. You will have more to sell, and that is the will of God, that those who give away and those who are generous and those who bless other people in the name of Jesus Christ will receive a blessing themselves, and the blessing will be 30, 60, and 100-fold of everything that they give away. Well, second point that I want to make today is, why is the Lord going to be bringing judgment, and why is he concerned about the United States of America and their walk with him and their righteousness? Where is this all leading to? Well, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness," or some count slowness, "but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Well, let me tell you, beloved, that there is a new day coming. There is a day coming when righteousness dwells, when everything that we see here on this earth will be burned up, when everything that we know here, everything that is familiar to us here, our cars, our possessions, our farms, our businesses, everything is going to be burned up, and Jesus Christ is coming back to hasten that day. And we can hasten that day by joining with him in prayer. We can hasten that day by living a life, as Peter says, we can live a life that will hasten that day, and that life is to live a life of holy conduct and godliness. When we as individuals don't live a life of holy conduct and godliness, God takes note of that. When we as a country abandon the commandments of the Lord and we start to promote homosexual marriage and we start to promote abortion and we promote turning against Israel and making alliances with their enemies, God takes note of that. He sees everything that we do, not only as individuals, but as institutions, as in church and business institutions, but he also sees the activities and the attitudes and the behavior of our government, our politicians, our elected politicians, and so he holds us accountable for the decisions and for the ways that we turn away from the Lord. And one of the primary judgments of God when he sees us turning away, one of the primary judgments is the release of famine, or the unleashing of famine upon a nation, to bring people to their knees, to break their bread and break their supply of food. In Ezekiel 5:14, when Ezekiel was prophesying to the children of Israel, he said in verse 14, "Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you, in the sight of all who pass by. And so it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you, when I execute judgments among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken." Verse 16, "When I send against them the terrible arrows of famine." Let me repeat that. "When I send against them the terrible arrows of famine, which shall be for destruction, which I will send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread." Verse 17, "So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you, and pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken." That verse 17 is a key verse because it gives us a picture of the four main types of judgment that God unleashes upon a land to break them, to destroy them, to turn their hearts back to Him, and to break their dependence and their worship of idols, and to break their dependence and their behavior that is ungodly and promotes the kingdom of the devil. And so these judgments, I'll again repeat those judgments in verse 17 of Ezekiel 5. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts. That is, wild beasts can be in the form of actual animals. In Africa, there's wild beasts. There's lions and there's tigers and there's cheetahs. There's elephants and all of them will destroy you. Buffalo, we don't have much of that here in America. Most of the wild beasts here are more of in the spirit realm, the demonic nature, but we have wild beasts, lions, that will consume us in the spirit realm, because the scripture says that Satan is a roaring lion, that he prowls about as a roaring lion, consuming who he may devour. And so wild beasts are still among us. They're operating among us as people. And so he says, I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Well, we just saw wild beasts unleashed in San Bernardino. We just saw wild beasts unleashed in Paris that destroyed many people, took the lives prematurely of many people, and destroyed those people's lives, shattered those people's lives, and caused many, many people to contemplate their life. It caused many people to meditate on the value of life. And so those wild beasts are going to be unleashed in America as we proceed to go down a path of worshiping false gods and turning away from the Lord God, the one true God. And then the third judgment is pestilence. That is pestilence like pests that devour crops, and also a pestilence, I would say, that is like disease of AIDS, HIV, AIDS, and other mysterious illnesses, and pestilence that devours the crops and does not allow for a good harvest. And so the fourth judgment then is that I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. And we've seen plenty of the sword, and you could say that the attacks in San Bernardino were certainly of the sword, and the attacks in other places, in Paris and other places, are of the sword. Even the attacks by crazies, the man who attacked out in the movie theater in Denver, in Aurora. And so there's going to be attacks from within this country, people who are raised here, people who've gone off the deep end and started to worship the devil. And there's also going to be attacks coming from without, just as the 9/11 terrorists flew those planes into the World Trade Center. All of those people were foreigners on our soil. They were students or here by some other means of visa. And so we're going to be seeing more attacks from those coming from without, even to the point where God may send mighty nations such as China or Russia against us to attack this nation and to bring this nation to its knees, to bring people here to a recognition that we cannot continue to turn away from God, that we have to get down on our knees and seek the Lord and seek His blessing and seek His favor if this country is going to continue. And if we are going to be blessed and we're going to have a semblance of law and order and a peaceful country here, we are going to have to seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind and all of our soul. Well, beloved, I ask you to pray about this message today. It's not easy to give these kinds of messages where God is laying out His judgments and His prophetic vision for America if we don't turn to Him. But He uses the prophets to give warning. He uses the prophets to say we need to bring correction, not only into the church, but into the nation and into individuals' lives. And when the prophets speak the truth, you know it. It resonates with you. When the prophets speak what God has given them, and they don't embellish and they don't change it, you know it resonates within you, and you know that the Lord has spoken the truth to you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We depend on your contributions. We ask you to pray about your part in coming alongside this ministry. We ask you to pray about your part in boosting this ministry financially so that we can pray for this radio airtime and the other endeavors and projects of the ministry. And so I ask you to do that today. Stay tuned. We'll have contact information coming up right after the close of this broadcast. Well, thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. So have a great week.